and fielded some phone calls from people, too. Nobody really knew what they were seeing, other than what they did not say is most of these sightings are occurring near military bases. Scott Air Force Base was right there where these police officers were. And there has always been reports and rumors that there's some large triangular-shaped object hidden away in a hangar there that comes out late at night. We have on the coasttocoastam.com website, Richard, and I don't know if you have seen it yet, but what is called a TR-3B, which is a tactical reconnaissance plane, that is a triangle. Yeah. And I am wondering, and let's take size away for just a moment, I am wondering if this is one a real object. Do you believe that our government has this kind of craft already?
Yeah, I think probably. I mean, we have to remember, though, anyone listening, that there are a lot of people who have talked about the TR-3B, and this is, for those who may not know, it's alleged to be a perfectly triangular planform. I mean, a perfect triangle, which, of course, there are no official aircraft that are of such shape, and yet people have been seeing these triangles for some time. I think that that is probably the answer. Yeah, I think that there are deep black programs, U.S. military programs that use this, and it's also, you know, said to it's a kind of high altitude reconnaissance, according to some people. Yet we see these things flying very, very low. So, but you know, what are they doing? What is their mission? And they've been secret for the longest time.
Yeah.
What wars are they being used in? And what's the whole point of these?
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the other thing. What's their propulsion? Because those people who are witnessing, seeing these objects, apparently they're going very slow, then they can go very fast. There's no sound. They make 90-degree turns, which you cannot do with a conventional aircraft. How are they moving?
Yeah. There's a variety of theories as to how they work, but I mean, George, I'm not convinced that any of these are really nailing it, in my opinion. The Illinois sighting, for example, this was a silent object. It was about 2 to 3, you know, very low altitude, and accelerated instantly,
and
according
big.
To the last officer
yeah.
who saw it. And then, right, these things stop. So, you know, one practical question I really wish people would ask more. I try to ask it every opportunity. It's one thing to ask a straightforward scientific question, you know, who are these beings operating UFOs, and is this our own technology and whatever, but what makes these things go? I mean, after all, we are staring right down the road at a potential petroleum crisis, as many people believe us anyway.
Well, now they're talking about $80 a barrel in a couple of years for oil. $80 a barrel, which means that at the tanker, we're going to be paying $5 a gallon here.
Well, demand is going through the roof. World petroleum demand, this is related to UFOs in a way. World petroleum demand is going up at about 4% a year. And I don't know if that sounds like a lot to people, but it's tremendous. That gives you a doubling rate of every 17 years.
Yeah.
And I don't care how much of whatever you've got, of any supply, you can't just keep doubling your demand that quickly and not run out. And so, you know, right now OPEC is pumping full. You know, they're going as fast as they can to keep up with global demand, and they still can't keep up.
Well, if this object is man-made, did we get the plans from some kind of alien technology to build it?
Well, you know, I'm speculating here as much as anyone else you would ask on this. I mean, I don't have documentation. I try to distinguish always between what I absolutely know and what I think I know. And in this case, what I think is the case is that it's reasonable to assume that we got some of this from elsewhere. Yes,
mm-hmm.
I do believe that. And I believe that because there is a long, long history of legitimate UFO sightings by military personnel. There are also no shortage of very, very good, inside, reliable people who have said at deep, deep levels there are programs to reverse engineer alien technology and study bodies. In fact, one of these people is a man who walked on the moon. That's astronaut Edgar Mitchell of Apollo 14.
Right.
He said this publicly many times. You got a lot of people talking. I think that there's something going on there. And so it would be logical to me to believe that the TR-3B is one such result.
Okay, well, we've got a picture of it on the coasttocoastam.com website, those of you who want to take a look at it. This is not as big as some people have reportedly seen, and that's something else that I find to be fascinating, yeah. Richard, because...
Well, there's a TR-3A and a TR-3B, and one is said to be really huge, and one is said to be kind of like the size of a... comparable to like a, you know, fighter plane type thing.
Like a stealth plane or something like that. Okay. Another thing, while we have a few minutes this half hour, you wrote an interesting article on UFO disclosure, but you wrote about the late Dr. Michael Wolff. It is the late Dr. Wolff now, isn't it?
I don't believe I wrote about him.
Okay.
Not sure that I did, George. Sorry.
You sure?
Pretty sure.
It says, it's got your name on it. It says, at the end of June 1999, telephone conversation with Dr. Michael Wolff, a consultant, and it's got your name, Richard, okay.
The Boylan?
Okay, yep, that's Boylan. Boylan.
No problem.
Boylan. They've got the B looks like a D, so that's not you. Okay, anyways, but Dr. Wolff, he is dead now, isn't he?
Yes.
He was a giant in the government, and at the same time said things that... I think would have made anybody just wake up and go, oh, my God. He talked about our government knowing things, seeing things, ETs.
Yes, correct.
And this guy was a consultant to the National Security Council's Special Studies Group.
Yeah, well, what he said, I mean, from what he had written and what has, I think, been accurately said, that it discusses that the U.S. government had been in a communication with... the ET guests who were at underground installations, and that that these guys had given the government, in fact, some of their anti-gravity craft and a lot of fuel, the element 115, for example, discussed by Bob Lazar, the energy system for this, and that there's much more going on there, and he is dead. You know, I think these types of inside accounts, we have to listen very carefully to them, because I think that there are people who are absolutely who are telling the truth here. But of course, my approach to the UFO phenomenon, I really want to make this clear to anyone who's listening. I do try to tread carefully in the sense of piecing together a history based on as verifiable a document chain as I can, and so. Whereas I'm inclined to think that, yes, there's absolutely a lot to what Dr. Michael Wolff was talking about, I'm still trying my best to make sure that I can put together a story that is confirmable and that I can defend.
It's unfortunate that nobody really seemed to listen to him.
Yeah.
It's gone. It's lost now.
Well, he'll be in my next book.
Excellent. See, so I knew you were working on him.
Yeah, well, I'm doing everything I can to study. I mean, this topic, I'm still the novice. I feel like I'm just learning all the time. And the more I get into this field, I continue to run into people who are in so many ways so far more advanced along the road than I am.
Well,
I just try to keep up.
When we come back from the break, of course, your book, UFOs and the National Security State, a chronology of a cover-up from 1941 to 1973. That's book number one. Of course, you're working on book number two. Are you convinced, Richard, that indeed there is and has been an ongoing cover-up?
Yes, I am. Absolutely. I have. There are a lot of things on which I'm not so sure, but this is one thing on which I would say I'm quite sure. There is a real phenomenon involving real technology that is not supposed to exist, that does exist, that there are very, very... high-level people within our own society and probably on an international level who have got this information and they are not revealing it. Yes, I believe that.
When we come back, I want you to go through the scenarios with me on why our government and why governments in general are just not telling their people why these things are going on. And I'm sure we've got our own theories and we'll go through a lot of them. Maybe they think there's going to be widespread panic. Maybe they think that we won't be controlled. Who knows what it is? Maybe they think it is in the interest of national defense that they don't tell us. But we'll find out. We'll get your take on it. Richard Dolan, our guest, is...